Lord God, saints. For those of you who may not know who I am, not that it matters, but my name is Tony Sanchez, and that's my wife, Lisette. We took our stand with the saints 15 years ago. That means we accepted this as being the truth, the Church of God, the real Church of God, in spite of what some of you might think that it isn't. I vote true Church of God. And we've been preaching in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico now for 15 years. That's across from El Paso, Texas. And the little congregation there sends their greetings and their thanks to each of you for their love, your care, concern, and for your support in every way. Thank you so much. The message that the Lord gave me is contained in this phrase, raised up by leaven. And when someone falls down, they slip or they fall, and you happen to be there, what's your first thought? How can I raise them up? How can I get them up without harming them, making it worse? And I just love the parable of the leaven. The words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that gave his life and his blood to save us, not to be saved by works, but saved through faith in his blood, not of works lest any man should boast, tells us in the Gospel of Luke 13, verse 20. And again he, being Jesus Christ, said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Notice the phrase, liken the kingdom of God. It is like. What is it? The kingdom of God. It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole, everybody say whole. The whole was leavened. Just give you a quick definition of the word leaven. The word leaven or the word yeast is a one-celled living organism. I just love that. You know, the gospel message, Christ is alive. It's not a form. It's not a ritual. It's not a creed. The gospel is living, and he places a living life in us, new life in us. And I just love that Jesus spoke about something that is living. That's the yeast. It's alive. It's a living microorganism that initiates. We're not the ones that initiate it. That living organism, being compared to the gospel of Christ, the grace of God, is the one that initiates the change, the new life in us. The Holy Spirit, he initiates it. That initiates fermentation by acting upon certain sugars from dough ingredients, releasing both carbon dioxide and other substances. And of course, we've all eaten donuts, we've eaten bread, tortillas, and stuff that has some type of yeast to it. And what happens is these live yeast plants start eating or digesting the sugars, and it turns into this carbon dioxide gas, and it forms little pockets. That's why when you eat the bread, you see those little pockets in there. And you can tell when one piece of bread does not have leaven and when the other one doesn't. Why? One is not raised up and the one is raised up. You can tell a true Christian. The false one is still down there in his drugs, addiction, lying, stealing, murmuring, complaining, living for self. But the one that has been raised up, we, God's people, we're praising, giving glory to God. We're raised up from vices, from addictions, raised up from depression, anxiety, raised up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We don't have to say, I'm a Christian. In Juarez, I'm walking the streets and they go, hello, brother. And I go, do I know you? No. Well, how do you know my brother? Well, I can tell. Some of the drunks come, hi, brother. And I said, how do you know my brother?
I know your brother.
This spirit, even the demons know that we're brothers in Christ. Amen. Even they can see the leaven, that we've been raised up from deadness to new life in Christ. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord, we've been raised up. We're not a people that are dragging and sin every day and that are down in the dumps. We're a people going forth. The Church of God is going forth triumphantly in victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. One thing that I like about this is it says that it was meal. She took the leaven and hid it in meal, 3 measures of meal. Meal is what? It was kernels of wheat or of corn, whatever, that was been crushed. And I love that verse that we're all familiar with. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's in Psalm 51:17. A broken and a contrite heart and spirit. We had to be ground. We had to be either an illness or an accident or some kind of situation had to bring us down. Some kind of emergency in our life brought us down, the way we were raised, and we were ground. It was a preparation for the yeast to be put in and for it to begin to do its work. The yeast doesn't affect whole kernels, only ground kernels. A little bit of background on yeast. Yeast is in the forefront of biological studies today. Can you believe that? It's in the forefront of biological studies. Something that Jesus spoke about almost 2,000 years ago. He being God knew how powerful yeast is in the physical, natural sense. Yeast has 6,000 genes. One-third of them are related to the human gene. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus knew that? The gospel is all powerful. It's not some insignificant, powerless thing. It's a very powerful thing. Enlarged due to its ease with which its genome, which is the yeast, can be manipulated, yeast has remained at the forefront of biological research. It possesses cellular organization similar to humans. It has a nucleus. So what they're doing is they're the biologists are taking the yeast and they're studying it to see how they can cure illnesses, how they can use medication, how it's affected. And they're tracing it and they're using it to study mankind because yeast is very similar to mankind. Yeast is a living microorganism, and the gospel message is living. It has powerful. It's powerful. And I just think of all this being packed into this tiny little parable that Jesus spoke about. I just love it. It also says that a woman took the leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal. In prophecy, in the book of Revelation, we all know that what the woman prophesies means. It has 2 significances. Revelation 12:1, a woman that was clothed with the sun and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And who is she? That's the church of God. That's God's people. Then there's another woman, the bad woman. Revelation 17:12, a woman arrayed in purple and scarlet, which is red color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. She's Babylon the Great. So who would you think this woman symbolizes? The one clothed in the sun. And so I believe that in this parable, this woman represents the church of God working in conjunction with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And when the church of God is working in conjunction with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, she has power to hide the yeast in souls that have been crushed. They haven't been crushed, they won't accept it. They won't believe it. It'll be no effect to them. But if they've been crushed and they're broken and contrite, that's prime meal for the yeast to work and start raising up that soul out of the life that they've lived in sin, that they've been in. Some have taught. Some churches and some preachers teach that this leaven was bad leaven because the majority, maybe 98% of what's taught in the Bible, it teaches that leaven is compared to sin. It's not a good thing. But I found a few interesting things, a few exceptions. One of them is this parable, the good leaven. And also in Leviticus 7:13, besides the calves, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So there was leavened bread that was good bread. It was part of sacrifices. And also in Leviticus 23:17, you shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. So when we're leavened by the Holy Spirit, we become the first fruits unto the Lord. Amen. So there are a few exceptions. We're going to be speaking about the good effects of the good leaven. And by the help of the Lord, the bad effects of the bad leaven in our life. Amen. I'd like to mention the other place where this parable is mentioned. That is in Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he, being Jesus Christ, unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman, being the church of God, working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and hid, it's hidden in the heart, in three measures: soul, spirit, and body, till the whole, wholly sanctified, was leavened. Amen? I want to say that I was raised basically by unbelieving parents, but they had the tradition of being Catholics. At age 8, I was sent to classes to learn in preparation for my Holy Communion, they called it. That's where you partake for the first time of the bread and cup like we do. They call it Holy Communion. And it's about 8 months of classes, and we were taught many creeds and doctrines that's what they are, creeds and doctrines. But in those creeds and doctrines, there was some leaven, because it had truth. One of them, I'll just read the first part. One of them is the Apostles' Creed that we were taught as children. I had to memorize it to pass the test. The first part says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. That's what the Catholics teach, and it's true. Amen? There's some leaven in there too. God can work. There's some word there. And if the Holy Spirit is working with you, he can use that. And he did with me. The other is the Nicene Creed. The Catholics teach the Nicene Creed. You have to learn it. I was 8, my sister was 9. You had to memorize it and quote it to the Catholic priest or the nun, and then they say if you pass or don't. Part of the Nicene Creed says, God from God, begotten, not made, speaking about Jesus. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So they have true doctrine. And then there was the Lord's Prayer. We heard it so wonderfully mentioned in prayer by our sister yesterday in prayer. It begins with, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We know that's true. God used that leaven in my life. And then the other one was Hail Mary. And we all believe that our sister Mary is precious and beautiful, and we honor her. The only thing, we don't pray to her, neither do we worship her. And that's where there's a big false doctrine. There's the bad leaven that works in people's life. It says, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And that goes on. And anyway, so I'm thankful that the Lord began to work in my life with good leaven in spite of some bad leaven being mixed in, because the Word and the Holy Spirit were working in conjunction in my heart. And I'm so thankful that it was through, at age 8, that I began to have dreams about going to hell and the earth only opening up. The leaven was beginning to work in my life. I was beginning to fear, and I was beginning to have a need for God in my life. And that's when I cried out to God at age 8 or 9 in prayer on a concrete slab outside of my home. That's all I'll say about that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, the leaven, the whole meal, your whole spirit, mentioned three measures of meal. That was about 50 pounds, 50 to 60 pounds, and it fed about 100 people when it was baked. But I do think it has significance that Jesus used three in Spanish, and the Reina Valera 1916 also uses the word three there too. I looked up the original Greek, it uses the word three there too. So Jesus did mean to use the word three. And I believe that these three are spirit, soul, and body. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. Oh, we have to sin every day. We can't make it. We can be preserved holy. Holy to the very end. Preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm so thankful for this leaven, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that is able to leaven or raise us up holy from our sinful past. Raise us up to the point that nobody would recognize that we lived that way in the past. We would have to give our testimony. Amen. Some have the big tattoos. We have a sister that has a big tattoo of marijuana here. Well, that tattoo gives testimony from where she's been raised up from. She's no longer smoking marijuana there in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. Thank the Lord that she's been raised up in that area of her life. Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body... Oh, no. Brother, God only cares about your heart. It's okay for you to wear makeup and jewelry and cut your hair, sister. It's okay for you to wear pants. It's okay to have a TV because God only cares about the heart. But it says here, what know ye not that your body, what is part of what the leaven leavens? Your mind, your spirit, your soul, and your body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and that ye are not your own? Verse 20. And ye are bought. Bought with what? The precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ that saves us. We as the church of God don't believe we're saved by works. We don't believe we're saved by what we do. We're saved by our faith in the blood of Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit's out working, He changes us. Amen? He changes spirit, soul, and body. For ye are bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen? Just want to insert here real quick. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:15, but if a woman have long hair, oh sister, you have the privilege of fulfilling this scripture. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Oh sister, what are you doing with your covering? Are you trimming it? Are you cutting it? Are you mutilating it? You will have to answer to God on the judgment day. Brother Marty says this scripture means something. The Holy Spirit wants to leaven your hair, brothers and sisters. We need to keep it short as men and the women. Let it grow as Brother Leslie taught. Let it grow as long as God will say. Brother Leslie say, my mother never cut her hair. Amen? Did you hear that? Brother Leslie said. Brother Leslie said, my mother never cut her hair. Why was he saying that? Because he believes in the scripture. The Holy Spirit had leavened his mother's body. Amen? I'm not trying to be harsh, sisters. You can fulfill the scripture if you really allow the Holy Spirit to leaven you. Amen? Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 20. And when the Pharisees demanded when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Verse 21, we're in Luke 17:21. Neither shall they say, lo here, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. What did the woman do with the leaven? She took it and hid it in the heart of the meal until the whole was leavened. And where is the kingdom of God? It's within us. And the moment we're saved, the kingdom of God is placed with the kingdom of God is not drink and food. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen? Psalms 40, verse 2. He brought me up. Like I said, the message is contained in this phrase. Raised up by leaven. Our old English word, leaven, comes from the Latin word to raise. I just love that. In other words, our English word today that is being used called leaven, that word in Latin is the phrase to raise. So leaven means to raise up. And I just love this verse that says here in Psalms 40, verse 2, he brought me up. He raised me up. He brought me up. Also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And what rock is that, saints? Our Lord Jesus Christ and his doctrine. And established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise, hallelujah, praise the Lord, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, saints, we've been raised up. We've been raised up, some of us, from out of Babylon, out of false doctrine, out of deceitful spirits, cages of sectism. Some of us have been raised up. We were raised in the truth, in the Word of God. We know what's right, but we had to be raised up from a form, from just mom and daddy said. And the church says, too, I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit. Amen? We were raised up from all of that. You know, I just love this. You can punch down the bread with leaven. punch it down, knock it down, and the wall starts rising up again. And what tries to punch us down here in the world? The world, the flesh, and the devil. They punch us down, and oh, you little fuddy-duddy people, you're so backward. You know, that's not what that scripture means. Don't you think you're too strict? It's not that necessary. You're doing too much. It's not required. They punch us down, and we start thinking, well, maybe I am being too worldly. Maybe I should lighten up a little bit and get a little worldly. No, we get punched down, and we rise up again to that level of, I'm right. I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to let my mama or my grandma tell me that I need to dye my hair because I look old and raggedy. I'm not going to dye my hair. Amen? Just because she says so? No, you rise up again, amen? It's kneaded and it's punched down, and the leavened bread rises up again. It tells us in the Word of God, for a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. That's Proverbs 24:16, and we all love that verse. A righteous man doesn't mean they sinned. They just were brought down. Brought down for a while. Discouragement. Down in the dumps. Anxiety. Some depression. But it says a righteous man will fall down 7 times because he's got the yeast. Up he goes again. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't let Satan punch you down. You've got the leaven. You rise up again. You get up again. You say, I'm a child of God. I'm loved by Him. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to let others' criticism knock me down. I'm not going to let others try to compare me among ourselves. No, no, no. I'm a child of God. I'm unique. If I'm doing the Word of God, I'm okay in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. I know whose I am. I know I'm loved by the Lord. That's what we need to say. Oh, sister so-and-so says that I'm failing. No, 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 no. What does Jesus say about you? Amen. Don't. It's okay. Respect what sister so-and-so said, but don't let it bring you down in the dumps. Amen. You got the leaven. You get up again. Amen. It says, He raiseth the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with the princes of His people. That's Psalms 113, 7-8. Psalms 113, verses 7-8. He raiseth, He lifteth. Raised up by leaven. One time there was two men that were doing missionary work, and they were staying at home, and it had just rained, and they're walking, and they saw a mud puddle, and the man saw a real expensive handle, china handle of a cup in the mud, and he reached out and picked it up. It was all full of mud, and his companion in missionary work said, throw it away, that's got disease. And he says, no, I'm going to take it to the home we're at, and I'm going to wash it up. It looks like a fine, expensive china cup. Outside, when he reached the home, he washed it off, the main mud with the water hose. It looked clean. Then he took it to the kitchen sink, washed it with soap and bleach. And as he finished drying it up, the woman of the home walked in with her stain, and he says, oh, I would like to drink tea in the morning from this cup. And she took the cup that had just been raised up, lifted up from the mud, and set it in among the china cabinet with the most finest, expensive dishware that she had. She never knew where it came from, or she wouldn't have put it there, no way. But it had already been cleaned up. The water of the Word had cleaned it up. It had been sanctified, it had been bleached. The blood of Jesus had washed it, amen? He raiseth the poor out of the dust. And we think of the harlot, Rahab, how she was saved because she hid the servants of the Lord. Where did she end up, saints? In the lineage of Christ. I don't remember, she's the great, great, great grandmother of David. A woman in the mud, in the dust, like that china cup raised up. The leaven worked in her life. It raised her up. And she was set with the princes of His people. Praise the Lord. That's where we are today. You don't have to be down in the dumps. You don't have to be discouraged today. And I know you're not. I mean, how could you be discouraged in monarch? But you might be. He wants to add a little bit of leaven to your heart, to your spirit. He wants to leaven your spirit, your soul, and your body today. Will you let Him? Will you let Him grind a little bit on that proud spirit? Let Him grind on it. Let Him bring you down, and that leaven will work. Amen. It says in Psalms 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid. The woman took the leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee. Sin is just going against the will of God, going against the word of God, saints. Even in a little detail, small detail. If it's against the word of God, it's sinning. If I fail to raise up my hand and I never do it, the Bible says, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, I never raised up my hand until I was age in his service, until I was age 33 after we got out of Babylon. Because of the word of God, I said, well, we're not doing this. I did it. And I said, it's kind of weird. Because they used to say, oh, they're putting up the antennas, those Pentecostals. They're trying to get the right channel. I used to mimic them. But now you look at me, I'm the first one to raise up my hands because I'm doing it for Jesus. It's leavened even my body that I automatically raise up my hand when there's something that I believe in, I stand for, and I love, and it touches my heart. Amen? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin in omission also. Amen? Yeah. Amen? The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. Psalm 51, verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. We as the church of God, hear me out. We believe in truth in the inward parts. But because it is leaven, you will see it manifesting itself with your eyes. It will show in the outward parts also. But it has to be in the inward parts first. Amen? Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. She took the leaven, the church of God, in conjunction, working in conjunction with the Word and the Holy Spirit. The woman took the leaven, and she hid it in 3 measures of meal. And when it's hidden there, we will be a church that does not sin. Oh, we may have shortcomings, we might have faults. But a shortcoming is different, and a fault is different than an actual sin. Amen? Then it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by conversation of the wives. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair. The Bible doesn't talk about hair. That's legalism. What does it say here? The plaiting of hair. It talks about the body. The leaven leavens the hair too. Outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. They used to plait the hair. I think most of us know that. They would put these thin plates of gold to make it shine as they move the hair around. It says not to do that. Don't put on shiny, glittery clothing so when you move, it glitters everywhere. If it's not okay on the hair, why is it okay on your watch? And why is it okay on your glasses? I asked the question. Women today are cutting their hair. I want to give you a secret. If I had come to the church of God and I had not seen any women with long, uncut hair wearing it up, I would have turned around and said, this is not the true church of God. Yeah, there are some that cut their hair, and there are some that not wear it up. But there are those that do. The core, there's a remnant among these people that want to do. And those of you that don't know yet or don't understand, don't let me. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not wanting to put you down. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. The Word of God does speak about here. Amen? It shows you how to wear it and how not to wear it. What to put in it and what not to put in it. And then the part she took and hid it. Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Oh, this is a heart religion. We as the church of God don't believe in outward show. We're not saved by what we do. We're not saved by our good works. We don't teach that. We don't believe that. But because we're saved. You know, the Bible says that faith without works is what? Dead. That's in James. So because we are saved, there will be works. Works will be a result. Obedience will be a result of being saved and of loving the Lord. Amen? And therefore, when it's hidden in the heart, it will show outside too. But let it be the hidden man of the heart And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, this is the ornament, this is the jewelry, these are the earrings that you are to wear, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Oh, it's of great price unto God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Romans chapter 1, 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, oh, I beseech you, said, if it was Paul that wrote Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your hearts only. No, we first presented our hearts when we're saved. And then there's a second work where we present our bodies. We present our fingernails. We remove that fingernail polish. Amen. We present our hair. Sisters, we start letting it grow out. We stop dyeing it. You too, men. Our hair is part of our body. Yeah. It's part of the body. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, yes. It's a sacrifice to do God's will, but it's a sacrifice that we love to do. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The leaven in the heart, the Word and the Holy Spirit working together will leaven our bodies. He'll transform us by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Oh, let us present our bodies. We've already presented our hearts, some of us. Now present your bodies. Present your dress to God. How do I look to you and to the world around me? Am I tempting the men with my short skirts? So thankful that I don't have to tell my wife how long to wear her skirt. She wears it pretty long. Some have asked her, and we say, well, it says in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus, John saw a vision of Jesus, and it said that he was wearing a garment that went down to where? To his feet. If you want to accuse somebody of being self-righteous, accuse Jesus, because he was wearing his garment down to his feet. Amen? You want to accuse somebody of being self-righteous for wearing long skirts? Accuse Jesus of being self-righteous for wearing a garment down to his feet. That's Revelation chapter 1, amen? I'll tell you the verse exactly. Now we'll go to the bad leaven. In Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Revelation 12, 1 through 2. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, Jesus began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid. When the leaven was hid, everybody will know you're a Christian. But also when you're a hypocrite, it'll come out. You'll slip up somewhere. They'll show up and catch you at that moment when you weren't expecting it. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Amen? You've hidden the world in your heart, the world will manifest itself. One of the bad leavens in the Bible was Phariseeism, which was a hypocritical formalism. They would look at the speck in their eye and overlook the huge beam in their own eyes. May the Lord spare us from being judgmental, and we have this big, huge problem, and we're focusing that little problem in our brother or sister. May God help us. We do want to help one another to measure up and come up, but may not be with the spirit of a... Let us examine ourselves and go to them in meekness and not in pride. He called them whited sepulchres because they had an external religion only. That was in Matthew 23, 27. There was once a new sister in the church that we left. She had been raised in the truth that we knew the light we had in that church. And she dressed semi-modestly, and she had let her hair grow out all along growing up. But she went out into the world, became worldly, and then came back later on to the truth that we knew, that amount of light that we had. And she had been coming to services for about 9 months, and she had changed everything about herself. She was already living in a way that was right. But the devil tempted her one day. She was invited to some kind of gathering of women. And she was going with the children, and she put on a wig, a short wig, a little pixie cut wig. She put on some earrings, and she painted her eyebrows dark, and she was driving down the road with her children, and she had the music on, and she was jamming out on the music, and her children said, "Mama, Mama, look, there's," I'll say another name, "there's Tom." He was one of the missionaries from our church to whom services she was going to. "Mama, Mama, there's Tom." She goes, "Shut up, be quiet, kids, be quiet." And she kept on wanting to, and there were the stoplights, she couldn't leave. And probably, finally, Tom turned around and she had to go with the little short wig and earrings and her. And so that day she realized that she did not want to be a hypocrite. She wanted to be a true child of God. And from then on, she said she never did do that again. When she wanted to be caught next time, she wanted to encourage the missionary, not discourage him. Amen? When we go to the store, when we go to friends' homes, how do we dress? How do we act? If the minister or a saint happened to see you, would you really encourage them the way you are? Oh, I hope that we will encourage them. That they'll say, "That's one of my people. That's one of my," they'll say, "Oh no, I kind of know them, but I don't want to say they go to that they're part of the Church of God because I'm embarrassed." Amen. Oh, may that not be the case, saints. Oh, may we be an honor. May we reverence the Lord in the way we act. Amen. Matthew 23, verse 25. "Woe unto you," Jesus said, "scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within ye are full of extortion and excess." Verse 26. We're in Matthew 25, verse 26. "But thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which," praise the Lord, "for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Oh, I want daily in my life for that yeast to be working. I want to be true on the inside, not just putting on something on the outside to please man, but I want to be true on the inside. I don't have to worry. The leaven will do the rest. The Holy Spirit will bring the conviction, and He'll measure us up. He'll bring us to where we are to be. We don't have to go beyond what we are. We can be where we're at. The Lord accepts us that way. When a baby's baby and they're eating and they're throwing the food all over the floor, we don't get on their case because they don't know yet. And we're so thankful in the Church of God. We're very patient and understand new people. They don't know yet, and we're patient with them. Amen. Thank the Lord. But those of us that do know, shame on us if we're doing it differently. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now, for the last few verses in Revelation 16, verse 6, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." There was also the leaven of the Sadducees. The leaven of the Sadducees is a rationalistic materialism. They deny the existence of angels. That's in Acts 23:8. They denied the resurrection. They believed in no future rewards or punishments. It was the idea of live it up now, religion. Live it up now because tomorrow you die. Excuse me. May the Lord spare us. We're all going to, the word, Jesus said, "This word that I have spoken to you, it shall judge you on the judgment day." None of us are going to escape. No reasoning. We're going to stand before the Lord, and I want to stand before Him and say, "Lord, I did everything I could. I did everything I could, Lord, in my means, by Your help." Amen? Mark chapter 8, verse 15. "And He charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." There was also the leaven of Herod. What was the leaven of Herod? It was a debasing sensualism. It induced his brother's wife to marry him. Adultery. He was resentful and vindictive. He murdered John the Baptist. And he was crafty and deceitful. Jesus said, He was a crafty and deceitful fox in Luke 13:31-33, and may the Lord spare us from this type of bad leaven in our lives. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven," a little of the bad leaven, "leaveneth the whole lump? Purge ye out therefore the old leaven," take it out, "that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." We have that sincerity and truth, but Satan would like to also hide some leaven in us, and that is the leaven of malice. I just want to quickly end with a story. There was once a woman that entered into a flight and was going to sit by a man, and she had bought herself a chocolate candy bar, and she got it, and she put it inside of a magazine. She set down the magazine, she looked over, and she saw it had fallen out, and it was by a man, and she kept on putting her suitcase, and when she looked down, the man had opened her candy bar, the man sitting next to her, and then she was about to sit down, and he got it, and he took a bite out of it. She goes, "Oh, how rude," she was thinking. And the whole time she didn't want to say anything to him, but she was sitting there fuming and fussing. How could this stranger bite and eat my candy bar? Anyway, they got off of the flight and she was behind him. She didn't know if she should tell him or what. Anyway, he entered a donut shop quickly and got a donut and was holding it. And she goes, "I'm going to get back at him." She went in, she got his arm and she bit his donut like that. Then she took off and she felt so justified and so happy that she had gotten even with him. Well, later on as she was walking, her candy bar fell out of her magazine, wrapped. The candy bar was his all along. And you know how she felt later on before she did? That's what malice will do. It'll make us ashamed, and we'll do things that we shouldn't do. May the Lord keep us from the leaven of malice. Oh, we're thankful to have been raised up by leaven.